Thomas Paine Podcast, number 27. We're shipping up to Boston today. Doing what Irishmen do, causing problems. Causing a lot of problems. This will be one to remember. You're going to remember this one. I'm up to no good. Believe me when I say it. Well, you don't have to believe me. You can just stick around for a little while. Landed an interview with these two Irish troublemakers, also known as the two investigators who have been probing the Clinton Foundation for the last 5 years. This is their first interview outside of a congressional hearing where they made their name, beating up on then Congressman Mark Meadows and some of the other clowns that were on his committee. Larry Doyle and John Moynihan. Mr. Doyle is a very successful Wall Street finance guy, and Mr. Moynihan is probably one of the brightest investigators in the country. Somebody you probably never heard of before this congressional hearing. It was all the way back in 2018, by the way, and they've been kind of underground working hard since then, but they took time out to sit down with me. I guess they like some of the work we've been doing, and there's a mutual respect there. And I know Mr. Moynihan from his days in the Drug Enforcement Administration. We won't go any further than that to say that. But I think we were originally supposed to just chat for a little while, and one thing led to another, and they started dropping bombs after bombs after bombs. So I said, we'll just keep rolling here, and I'm not going to fuck around too much with the introductions and things like that. I think I'm just going to roll right into this thing on the big podcast on Wednesday here. We had more Pain in the Morning came out a few hours ago, and now this one's coming out on Wednesday, and there'll be some news developing from this, to say the least, as the week goes on True Pundit, as we pull some stories out of here in print. That's a fun thing. We can do a podcast, and we can also augment it with print stories. Folks who come on here usually get a double, triple bang for their buck and their time. We appreciate the folks out on patreon.com/truepundit. And subscribestar.com/truepundit who are really pulling the weight for us by chipping in and donating and supporting on what to contributing in to our efforts, underwriting our efforts. We also have some ads now on these podcasts. I sometimes I hear them, sometimes I don't. I don't know what's going on with those, so. We remain in flux on the hosting and ad front. It's a work in progress, just like anything else that you start. To be honest with you, I didn't even anticipate being in this position until 2021. So we'll take it, but we're having growing pains, just like we did when we started True Pundit. It's difficult when you launch these things on a shoestring. It's always difficult. You can't throw money at your problems. Some other rich guy's money, you can't do that. So we got to learn on the fly. That does make you more nimble, though. learning for yourself, doing things for yourself, and learning on the fly. Some lessons some of these hobos in the street could learn. Marching around, everybody wants something for nothing. I'm not going to get bogged down with that stuff going on right now, because we talked about that. We've talked about that every day. And last night on the patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit, we did the More Pain show, and we talk about that 2 hours, 3 hours, about things like that. So you can catch that show where we delve into that. This, we're going to delve into this duo's work on the Clinton Foundation and the tax case that they have sitting in tax court right now against the Clinton Foundation. And he also dropped bombshells on Bill Gates and what I call a criminal charity cartel of all these menagerie of nonprofit and tax-exempt organizations run by really rich and famous people that are basically laundering money. We get into some interesting stuff about that, too, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and controlling the purse strings of certain groups under the umbrella of Secretary of State, and some of that money made it back to the Clinton Foundation. There's some shocking revelations coming your way, so... Again, we're breaking new ground here. The first interview these guys have done. Private guys. Irish guys from Boston. That's why we're shipping up to Boston, to cause some fucking trouble. And so, you know, it's a fantastic interview. And I was lucky to score it. And I'll count my blessings. Three Irish Catholic guys shooting the shit. and they've done their homework. Boy, they've done their homework. For 5 years, they've jetted all over the world dogging these people, putting this case together. And it's really something to see and something to listen to. Also, they break a pretty big scoop in here. I'm not going to detail it. I'm not going to tease it up front. Just otherwise to say that we'll be that will be leading on True Pundit later today, and I'm not going to. See, when you do your homework. Okay, this is how it works. When you do your homework, you come across a lot of information, and you just, people say, oh, how do you guys get all these stories and things like that? Well, you do your homework. You know the people to talk to, the right people, and things fall in place. Like I said, these are lessons these people, these vagrants in the street, these vagabonds could learn. Hard work. Instead of gimme, 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 you got to go out and you got to work and earn it. So, I think there's probably five big stories in this interview. For me, I think for most people, the revelations are astounding. And you'll see the depth of knowledge these two have amassed through hard work and talking with people. Mostly Humint, H-U-M-I-N-T, human intelligence, globe-trotting, and I don't mean to say that in a Playboy-esque manner, but a dogged investigator gumshoe manner, talking to people, figuring out what the hell went wrong, how many people the Clintons have ripped off, and Bill Gates comes up frequently here, and also coronavirus. It's truly amazing interview. And again, I'm excited to have it and provide it to you folks first, just like we did with Bobby Kennedy Jr., just like we did with Dr. Judy Mikovits, targeting Fauci. Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr. targeted Fauci, and then everybody said, "Oh, we got to get Bobby Kennedy Jr. on. He was on the Thomas Paine podcast." And then we did the same with Dr. Judy Mikovits, basically taking Fauci down. That's what we did through months of research, by the way, months. And then everybody said, "Oh, we have to get her on." You know, so I would anticipate. I don't know. These guys are a tough sell, though. I don't think you're going to have as much success. They're very discerning, as they should be. Let's jump right into it. Oh, you know what? I want to play those clips first from the 2018 congressional hearing. I got two clips. Let me play the first one here. This is John Moynihan in the first one. Actually, I think he leads off both, but we'll go with the first one.
So what we did is we sent our appeal in with a photocopy of the FBI and the IRS CID on their jackets removing boxes from the Clinton Foundation after they had brought a 757 down and taken all the materials out of the Clinton Foundation, Little Rock, Arkansas. We sent that with our appeal to demonstrate to the IRS that your letter coming from Atlanta doesn't reconcile with what's going on in Little Rock.
We asked you, what does that mean? And we asked you for a copy of that letter from the IRS. Mm-hmm. Why won't you give us a copy since you did receive a letter of preliminary denial?
Because we're in an appeal status right now.
You're appealing the denial.
Yeah, so they actually encourage you. They actually say in the letter, please submit an appeal. They actually ask you, please submit an appeal as if we're wrong. So what we did is we sent our appeal in with a photocopy of the FBI and the IRS CID on their jackets removing boxes from the Clinton Foundation after they had brought a 757 down and taken all the materials out of the Clinton Foundation, Little Rock, Arkansas. We sent that with our appeal to demonstrate to the IRS that your letter coming from Atlanta doesn't reconcile with what's going on in Little Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes himself. So I want to do a little follow-up here. So your conversations with the special agents in Little Rock, Arkansas, Mr. Doyle, was that you?
That was me.
All right. And so your conversations with them, they acknowledged they had received your and the pages of documents. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And did they acknowledge any work that they're doing with that, either directly or indirectly?
Did not comment.
So they just said thank you for the submission.
Well, I mean, it was a very cordial, professional conversation. I can't comment. Thank you very much. You know, we were very, very grateful for your efforts.
Then what makes you believe that there's a criminal investigation out of Little Rock then? If that's the extent of it.
I spoke to him twice. I spoke to him in August and then again in October.
All right. So what would make you think that there's a criminal investigation, Mr. Doyle? I mean, if it was just cordial, I mean, then why would you believe that there's...
Well, in the August conversation, he said this is an open and ongoing situation.
All right. So he said this is an open and ongoing... investigation or situation? Or matter?
I apologize. Investigation.
All right. So it was an open and ongoing investigation that he couldn't comment on.
Yes.
So that would indeed indicate that there's an investigation.
And Chairman, look, I worked for the DEA. I do work all over the world in these cases still. The fact that they followed up with a second inquiry, not just, hey, thanks, don't let the door hit you on the way out, but then they follow up again. That's not the sign of a closed investigation.
I get that, Mr. Moynihan, but I can't take your experience at the DEA, and I appreciate the thought, but the other part of that is, Mr. Doyle, if they said there was an open and ongoing investigation, that's what you recall that they said?
That is what I recall to the best of my memory.
And so if indeed there's an open and ongoing investigation and you've given the information to them, why would the IRS not view that as substantial?
Well, that's...
Did they know that there was an open and ongoing investigation?
We sent a picture to the IRS.
I heard that.
Right, so they know. That some part of the IRS knows.
We included that in our appeal letter.
In your appeal. All right.
And to that point, Congressman, the IRS individual was, I would say, more than mildly surprised at our interaction with the FBI.
All right. Why do you think Mr. Huber waited until November the 30th to call you about four letters that you had sent prior? Because you had sent one on the 14th, the 18th, the 29th. Those were in April, 29th of May, as I recall, and October the 10th or 12th, based on what I understand. Why did they wait until November 30th to give you a call?
We don't know.
Do you think it might have had to do with the fact that you're coming here to testify?
Well, I mean, that this testimony invitation just came recently. I don't know why.
They were fully aware because we had asked them to come and be a witness at this particular hearing, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call from Mr. Huber's, what, second in command? Is that correct?
I don't know if he's the second, but he was clearly an assistant U.S. attorney dealing directly with Mr. Huber.
So I find it just very coincidental that on November 30th, a few days before the hearing, after they had been noticed that we wanted them to come and testify, all of a sudden they would start following up. So, Mr. Doyle, what did they say about the documents that you had provided them? Did they have them all?
Congressman, he said that we are reviewing your material. I asked him if he could comment if further beyond that, if this was open and ongoing. He said, we are reviewing your material. He called me back a few hours later, asked specifically about, you know, one exhibit, and then asked further if you could, you know, do you have these on a disk? I said, I have them on a thumb drive. Would you like them? Please resend them. So I resent the thumb drive that afternoon.
So was that the first time that Mr. Huber and his team actually got the documents from you, Mr. Doyle?
That was the third time.
Third time.
So you're telling me that on November 30th they called you back and they couldn't find the first two submissions that you had made to the Department of Justice and Mr. Huber, that they wanted you to send them again?
Is that what
you're telling me?
We're concluding that ourselves. That's what we concluded.
And it was just what I've been told by DOJ, which I do not believe, just to be frank, is that this was the normal process of following up on recent correspondence.
Yes. Right.
And so they didn't respond to your April 4th letter. They didn't respond to the letter later in April. They didn't respond to the May 29th letter. And they finally responded to your October 10th letter a few days before a hearing that was coming up.
Correct.
That is correct.
Do you think that shows the level of interest that a special prosecutor would show?
We don't know his caseload, but quite frankly, we're disappointed that 3 years' level of effort goes into this. We are not paparazzi. We are not the media. We don't want anybody to even know who we are and the work that we do. We're financial investigators. That's what we do. We get paid to do this for a living. We work for ourselves. We don't get paid by anybody else.
And Congressman,
so it's disappointing that it took that long
to
hear from them.
We shared our materials not only with the attorney office in Salt Lake, also in Little Rock, but other U.S. attorneys' offices as well that had been indicated as, you know, providing support or working on Clinton-related matters. We also shared our materials with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. So various jurisdictions that we felt would be interested both at the state and federal level.
And you've shared all of those documents with those entities, and yet you somehow do not believe that you should share it with Congress and the American people?
Well,
this answer that one for me, Mr. Monahan.
I'll answer it.
I want to hear this because, frankly,
are you going to prosecute the Clintons? Are you going to bring an action against the Clintons that would yield us economic consortium? I don't think you are. Those entities.
But I thought, hold on to your testimony. Don't get cute with me because I promise
I'm telling you the truth.
I promise you. I thought you said you were all about the rule of law. That was in your opening statement.
We are
all about justice and truth.
And that's why we've presented to the law enforcement agencies, which you're not.
Mr. Moynihan, let me just say this. We have an oversight responsibility, and I can assure you that when you come in here, it is incumbent upon you to be open and transparent. Mm-hmm. And we can make criminal referrals just like anybody else. Now, we cannot prosecute. You're exactly right. But what I can tell you is this, is that when you come before us and you've shared it with all kinds of entities, and to not actually listen to my good friend to my right here and say, you deserve to see the same evidence that we've shared with others, I don't find how that actually provides a good foundation for truth and transparency.
It's just, I think we're looking at this from completely different perspectives. We are financial investigators. We do cases. We present our evidence to those jurisdictions, in this case, the IRS, that would bring a case. That's not what you do. So that's why we present it to them and not to you.
Okay. Well, I can assure you that we do have something here that will compel us to get the information, either from you or from the agencies.
Sure.
And I can assure you that we will, so that my good friend to my right and the entire committee can review these documents and make their own claim.
We welcome that from you.
Final question. Mr. Doyle, you said anywhere from $400 million to $2.5 billion might be subject to taxation, were improperly used in a charitable foundation named the Clinton Foundation. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it could be all of it?
It could be all of it.
All right. If there's no further business before the committees, the committee stands adjourned.
Meadows. I feel bad for Doyle and Moynihan. It's like trying to explain something to a piece of sheetrock. It's Meadows. I mean, he sounds great on Fox News and everything. Now he's the chief of staff in the White House. Lord help us. I mean, maybe it doesn't come through to other people listening to that, but this guy's a U.S. congressman. I always find myself asking that question. This guy's a U.S. congressman, and he doesn't understand. He could have gotten the documents very simply without trying to make a public spectacle of it and getting his ass whooped. He got wrecked on national TV. Meadows, they drunk Moynihan. And Doyle drummed him right out of Congress. And Jesus, God, it's embarrassing. He could have gotten it for you. I'm not going to go into that. But if you're a congressman and you don't understand what you can do to get the documents from these guys legally, you shouldn't be a congressman. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, let's talk to these guys. Let's have some sensible discussion with these guys like adults, not like what we just heard. It was like the adult table versus the kiddie table at Thanksgiving. And Meadows got hit in the head with a roll, dinner roll. You guys want to focus? You want to talk about Gates? What do you want to talk about?
There's plenty to talk about. I mean, we can, in terms of like who are some of their partners, who are some of the other, the drug companies, flows of funds. I mean, Geneva with some of that, donors, some of the background work that we did looking into their 990s, the state registrations, I mean, the interviews.
Okay.
There's no shortage of topics.
Well, we'll just whatever you guys want to talk about, whatever you guys want to roll things into, I'm flexible.
Mike, what's your goal of interviewing? What's your goal? What do you want to do? Let's just hear what you want to do so that, you know, we're not media people, so what would have value to you for the show? What's the best thing?
I'm no different than you guys. I just want to cause trouble. You guys are just better at it, and you actually make money from it. I'm down here fucking eating ramen, pride noodles, causing trouble like a hooligan. That's all right. I can live with that.
All right. So how long, how much time do you need? Like how much tape or time do you actually need? Whatever.
We can go as long as you want. It doesn't matter. Usually I go like an hour or something like that, sometimes more, but okay. I understand like there's a lot of, I'm not constrained by time today, so I don't want to go two or 3 hours and lose my mind. And
no,
I know you don't want to either, because we can always have you guys back on.
Not an hour and go from there. I think a fundamental understanding of what we did would have value to the audience. Like everybody's like fucking all over the place. Like I think this kind of a story about how we even got to where we are and then explain it like all the people who we met with and talked to and who wanted to pay us and this rigor, you know, how we even started this fucking thing, you know?
We ended up going down like six or seven or eight different paths. We just keep going down, and then there are shoots off each of those paths. You know, right. All of these become very interesting and riveting stories in and of themselves, but then when you put the whole thing together, it's like, wow, you know, a lot going on here.
I think if there's any value to us doing this and then coming back again or something, I think everybody should have the same foundation. I think people should understand, like, what happened? How do we even get to where we are? And I think we got to talk about that. I mean,
okay,
just talk.
Right, so kind of go back to the beginning, which was late 2015.
Yeah, I mean, just
it was a year before the election even happened, and we started working on this.
So, yeah, just talk about any one of these things out of the blue. There'd be no context. Like, what the fuck are these guys talking?
Well, you know? we'll start then, and don't worry about intros. I'll do the intros before you guys come on. So, we'll do all that stuff. So I'll set it up so we don't have to waste time with that. So take me back to when this all started so people can have a background of exactly ground zero, so to speak, when you got involved in this menagerie. It's turned into a menagerie, watching it unfold on. You guys were last seen beating up on then Congressman Mark Meadows. the poor guy, after that hearing, he had to quit Congress.
that was that's something we can touch on here. With you're just talking about the hearing itself, and you know,
yeah,
some of the stuff that went into it, and then coming out of it, and during that hearing, when we took the little sidebar, you know, like you're not getting the documents.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I didn't know you guys were testifying, and I I got a message that says, "Yeah, John Moynihan is on C-SPAN." So I turned it on. I said. And I was watching a little bit of it, and then I got sidetracked. And I said to myself, oh, man, Meadows is in for a long day. I said, you don't know this guy.
That was an interesting day.
Yeah. I mean, Moynihan's kind of like I've talked about it before, like just briefly on podcasts. I used to run around with the guys that John was a supervisor of in DEA. Way back in the day, who knows, whoever thought that we'd end up, either one of us would end up where we are and stuff. So John was like he was like a feared guy. His group was like, we don't want to make this guy angry. We were out in New York City causing all kind of trouble. So it's just funny that our paths have crossed again, so to speak.
Circle, and there he is again.
Yeah.